Good evening, everyone. It is Friday the 13th of March, and this is day 13 of Marching On. And it's just going to be a quick one. I'm actually watching Comic Relief and waiting for a curry to be delivered. Very nice, too. And I just thought I'd talk a little bit about Comic Relief, just briefly. I know there's some people, the same happened with Children in Need, that say, oh, the people come on, they come on with the sob stories and they make everyone feel bad. But I do like Comic Relief because half the money stays here, and I think this is how they do it anyway, and half goes abroad. And I do think we ought to share. I mean, I know they say charity begins at home, but when you see these films, you can't help but think that we've got so much. I might consider myself among the poorest of the nation. You know, I can't work, etc. But at the moment, but compared with some of these people, I'm the equivalent of a millionaire, and I always give. I don't give much because I haven't got that much to spare, but I will always give to these things. But that's my you know, prerogative, and I'm not saying anyone has to. But there are some very touching stories, and yes, they do pull at your heartstrings. But they show things how they are. And I know a lot of us do know what goes on in other countries, particularly Africa, where there's a lot of focus for this particular campaign. But a lot of people in this country probably aren't really aware, especially younger people. I don't know, I suppose younger people are becoming more aware from things that they do at schools and stuff. But children, I always liked my kids to watch these things. I know some of it is disturbing, not when they were really tiny, but when they're about 10 onwards. I mean, because I think they need to understand how lucky they are, especially with regard to education, which seems to be one of the focuses this year. All these kids really want is to be educated, because that's the key to getting on in with their lives in Africa, and we just take everything for granted. And that's all I really want to say. There were some very heartwarming and very touching things. There was a clip about Ebola, and there was an Indian or Asian doctor, but he was obviously British, or he at least sounded as British as I do, and I only know that he's Asian by his name. And he went out to volunteer, volunteer, and he said the first day there were three children brought in, and the oldest one was six and was looking after the other two, who were a year old, I think that's what he said, and one a boy and a girl. And the older one didn't have Ebola, so was sent home, but these two little ones did. And the little boy, I think he said his name was Alpha or something like that. I could have got that wrong. That might have been some other term for something. But anyway, he was very sick. And, you know, he took one look at him and he, you know, knew that it wasn't good news. And he tried to give him, and he said he could tell by his face it was in a lot of pain. So he tried to give him some water and he choked on it, poor little baby. And so they gave him some morphine and some other pain relieving medication so that at least his pain would be reduced or hopefully removed. And he said that the next day when he came back and the next morning, you know, he as expected, he died. And he just said he hoped it was painless because they'd given him the medication. And he was buried, and he went to his graveside because he said both his parents had already died. And he said, and this, it was very touching, because he said he went to the graveside because he said that, you know, a little baby like that with no parents and no one to mourn him, his parents were already somewhere else in the burial area. It's not human for someone to be just put in an unmarked grave and sent off like that without anyone to mourn his loss. And I thought, what a good, I mean, that really did, I was in tears watching that. I thought, what a good man he is. You know, and what's really struck me is, more than anything, over watching this and over the past few months, is the bravery of these people who do go out and work in the front line fighting in diseases such as Ebola in particular, because it's such a nasty disease. And I mean, as much as I love to help people, I can honestly say now, categorically, I wouldn't do it. I really, 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 really take my hat off to those who risk their own lives and do that, because I wouldn't do it. I would do a lot of things. I would, you know, I'd give my last penny for someone if they really needed it, but I wouldn't go out there. And not that I could now, but even if I was fit and well, I wouldn't. I can honestly admit that I would not go out and fight on the front lines of Ebola areas. And maybe it's a failing in myself, although I suppose the fact that I can admit it is something, and that's what makes me admire other people. This is vaccines, I don't know what for. But I think Comic Relief does such good work. All these things do, and I think we are the queen of charity in this country. And we should be I'm proud of that. I'm not very often proud of Britain, you know, especially I'm not certainly not proud of Britain's history. But when I see people giving to these children in need, and anything really, guide dogs. I mean, obviously we wouldn't have our dogs without people's generosity. Anything like that, I really think that, you know, we are a great nation for that kind of thing, for giving. And some should say we shouldn't have to. The government should pay for some of these things like guide dogs. But the fact is they don't. They never have. They probably never will. And I'm proud of this country for the work they do. Hold on a sec. Yes? I'm watching this in my bedroom, actually, because I'm dialysing at the moment. But the other thing I wanted to say, I've had some responses from people about my rant yesterday about not getting stuff in Braille. And I realised that in the UK we are very lucky that we get such a service due to Equality Acts, etc., etc. I don't think it's ever been cheaper or easier to get stuff put into Braille, as cheap or as easy as it is now. I do appreciate everything I get in Braille. I do think the government departments, such as HMRC, Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs, should, however, be in the forefront and leading, be the flagship in promoting this kind of equality. And unfortunately, are lagging far behind. So again, I feel thankful that we've got so much in Braille in other form, you know, with other things like phone bills, utility, bank statements, which we've had for 20 years or more in Braille. I can't remember ever not having my bank statement in Braille, and letters and correspondence with the bank. Because the two responses I had, one was from Gwentleanne Shannon in Canada, and she said they don't get anything in Braille, which I find really staggering. I'm sure in the USA they get everything in Braille. I imagine they would. That's absolutely staggering. She said even the CNIB don't send stuff in Braille. And the other one was from Nama, who said in Israel they get nothing either. They either get, well, they get CDs or sometimes emails, but not anything in Braille either. And I find it quite flabbergasting, really. And so it does make me feel lucky that we get so much in Braille, but I'd still feel annoyed that the government people aren't doing what they should do to make our lives easier. And because of that, I've ended up having to pay back £1,960, which I didn't bargain on having to do. And, you know, now I'm paying that back. I could have given more to Comic Relief than I did, but now I've got to make sure I've got that every month to pay back. But anyway, that's by the by. But anyway, thank you for the people who commented. And it's nice to know how other people cope. But I don't think we get offered the chance of email here. Phone bills and stuff, they will email if you ask them. But I don't think the likes of Housing Benefit and HMRC will email stuff because they don't think it's secure enough. Because that would be an okay option if they would email me things like in some format that I could read, like PDF or Word. Then I would accept that as okay. I would prefer it in Braille, but if they can't do that, then email is absolutely fine too. But we didn't get offered that. All I got offered was a CD, which I didn't find acceptable because it's not it's not in a format that, when you've got a lot of figures to look at, you want to keep, you know, you go back. You'll sit there and you'll go back and you'll say, what did it say on the page before? But when you're reading listen to a voice document, it's not very easy to keep flicking backwards and forwards and finding the right place. Whereas if, in a Word document, even if they put a Word document on a CD, then I would be able to at least access that and move around and navigate in the document. But there was something else I was going to say. What was it? It was related to the Braille, etc. What was it? Hold on. What was it? Oh, it's gone. That's annoying. It was with regard to email. Stuff haven't been in email. Oh, yeah. With the tax credit awards notice that I had asked for in Braille so that I could make sense of it, this is what the sort of thing I'm talking about. If you have to listen to something, I love this song. But I like both Sam Smith and John Legend. Anyway, that's by the by. It started off with all this blurb, and then it said, such and such and such and such is explained in part 3. Well, we hadn't even got to part 1 yet, and then it had something like, this is explained in part 2. And so, when you want to really understand things properly, you've got to keep flicking back between, you know, oh, what did it say in part 1 again? What did it say in part 4? And that's the only format that I can really do that with brilliantly is Braille. You can also read it anywhere. I could just sit down in bed bedtime reading, or I could sit in a chair. Anyway, it was interesting to hear, and I know, you know, if anyone else wants to tell us their experience in different countries, I would be interested to hear. I think we probably are pretty lucky over here on the whole, but just not with government departments, and I do really feel strongly that they ought to be the leading lights. I really like Sam Smith's voice. I didn't realise this is the Comic Relief single. Not till tonight. Obi's at work. The kids are here. Connor can't watch Comic Relief. He always used to, but he can't watch it anymore because it's too sad. It is very sad. But what I like about it is they show you, they've been back to a few people, like the one person they saw 15 years ago and 10 years, and they come back and show you how their life's changed now and what the money's done to help, how it's gone towards it. And I think that's really good. I think the news is coming on now. You can turn over and watch the Bake Off, but I'm not going to do that because I don't know where Ronan put the TV on for me because I couldn't get my aerial working. It's an indoor one, you know. And I don't know where he's put the remote control. I haven't got it and I can't reach it from where I am because I'm doing the dialysis, you know. Just for interest, I'll let people overseas hear the UK's headlines because I love hearing that. What I really love is when I hear people's broadcasts, you know, their audio boos from overseas, and I love the local things. I like hearing if they're out and about, people talking in the local languages or accents and things. I like to hear, I know I'm a bit strange, but I like to hear, like, in shops when they announce over the PA system, you know, and I love hearing things like that, or on buses and trains and things at stations. And I love to hear, like, if you can hear the radio in the background, what it's talking about. So I'll let you all hear the 10 o'clock news headlines. I know I'm eating late, but I've been trying to buy, me and Ronan have been buying some stuff online, just new bedding and things like that, and some stuff for his room, and it took hours because he kept changing his mind. And I like Labyrinth too. No, I'm not really interested in that. I want to see the news. I think that was someone's red, squeaky red nose, I presume. Trails for other programs by the sound of it. Oh, it's pole dark. I think I might read, I think that's a book. Here we go. Here comes the news. The news now on BBC One with James Hill. I hope you can hear that. That's the Archbishop of Canterbury. You who trained hard, you who did not turn from danger. As service personnel paraded through the capital, it was a poignant. They normally have headlines. This is just so emotional. The respect we've been shown by the public. Well, maybe they are going to do that. Oh, yeah, here we go. New footage emerges of the three London teenagers on their way to join so-called Islamic State. We need to get them back ASAP. Versus oil giants, the battle to save Africa's oldest national park from oil exploitation. And at Cheltenham, Coney Green becomes the first novice to win the Gold Cup. Lammy, what are you doing? That's the London news. They always have the national news first and then the local news wherever you live. Stop it! Stop scratching my, scraping my bed. Lammy, stop it. Attended by the Queen and the Duke of Edinburgh, the Prime Minister, and past and present members of the armed services. This is news from the BBC. The American-led coalition that toppled the Taliban in 2001. Almost 150,000 British personnel were sent to Afghanistan.
453 did not return. Many of their families and friends were at the service, as our correspondent Nicholas Witchell reports.
To the cathedral church that is St. Paul's, where the nation's wars have traditionally...
Okay, I think that's enough of that. Yes? Who is? Is it? Oh! They're watching Crofts on Gogglebox. What are they saying about it? Okay then, folks. I will be back tomorrow with day 14 of Marching On.